From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, December the 2nd, 2008. Each week, we address the latest in geospatial technology news, trends, and applications. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This week, we will tackle new media and how it will affect the way you get your geospatial news. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Adina, getting our hands around all of the news coming in from the various sectors of the geospatial world is a challenge just for us. But receiving the news has got to be an even greater challenge for our readers and listeners. And today I want us to tackle the different forms of media, both social and location-based or otherwise, which we are exploring and already delivering the news. And I want to start by tackling Twitter. Now, when you first approached me about using Twitter and delivering some of our news via Twitter, I thought it was the most senseless form of social media. And the reason I believe that is that, first of all, you only have 140 characters. And for those people who don't know about Twitter, the best way I would describe Twitter is mini blogging. You have 140 characters to get your words or news or information out, and a lot of people use it for talking about themselves. There is a different approach that we are taking at Directions Media in using Twitter, and we're going to go into that in some detail. But to me personally, for somebody to follow me personally, first of all, I'm not that interesting a person, and why somebody would follow me is often strange, but I am now on Twitter, and there are people following me, and I find that fascinating. But the way we are using Twitter for our publications is, I think, primarily a different way of getting out the news. For us, it is, in a sense, a business tool. And I came across an article that Tim O'Reilly of O'Reilly Media, a person many people follow on Twitter, but just for his insights into the technology realm, and many people know him for the Where 2.0 conference. He explains it this way, and he wrote a good article for which we'll provide the link, but I want to quote what he says. He says, like a lot of people, I tried out Twitter early on but didn't stick to it. Most of the early Twitter conversation was personal, and I didn't have time for it. I came back when I noticed that about 5,000 people were following my non-existent updates, waiting for me to say something. With that, many listeners, I thought, I'd better oblige, and now, as he says, there are 16,000 people following him. I soon realized that Twitter has grown up to become a critical business tool ideal for following the latest news, tracking the ideas and whereabouts of people who will shape the future of technology, and sharing my own thoughts and attention stream. I thought that was a really cogent way of putting where he thought Twitter is, and it really kind of solidified some of my thinking about where and how we can use Twitter in the future. But I'd like to get your perspective, because you were kind of brought it to my attention early on.
Right, and I had the same reaction I think Tim O'Reilly did initially about Twitter. What is this for? Why should I possibly be interested? Why should I spend any time following anybody? So I spent some time just sort of lurking around in Twitter and searching on terms that might be of interest. And what I finally realized about Twitter was that the big thing that it has over email or email newsletters, I mean, we've been in the email newsletter business now for years, is its immediacy. It's quick, it's short, you can read it and decide whether or not to follow a link. So it's perfect for sort of breaking news or breaking ideas. And that's really the way we're looking at using it. So what we've done at Directions Media is set up Twitter feeds that basically forward to you immediately any new information that appears on any of our blogs or in our magazine. So you don't have to wait around until the daily newsletter comes, or you don't have to wait around until you go and visit the blog or read the RSS feed or however else you may get information. It costs us nothing in terms of time or energy because it's an automated system. And you'll probably notice that many other news outlets have done the same sort of thing, where they basically push anything that goes out on their blog or their publication to a Twitter feed. And I think the most important thing about our feeds, and I can't speak for anybody else's, is that the feeds that are associated with our publications are strictly for those publications. You won't get any personal stuff. You won't get any, you know, what I had for dinner stuff. You'll just get the content that's going out in those publications.
Now, one of the things that Tim mentioned in his article was kind of a developing a relationship with the other people who were following them. Not that he wants to be friends with them, and which he said that might develop over time. But from a news perspective, what I want people to get from us is to develop a relationship, to develop a way to interact with us. And that's what I've tried to do, hopefully better than anyone, is to provide this continuous, rather pervasive conversation with our readers, whether you want to comment on our articles or whether you want to comment on our blogs, whatever. This is a way to interact with us, and I think that's a very valuable service, and I hope that people take advantage of that.
Right, and they have, to be fair. While the feeds are sort of strictly content, we have gotten a few replies to things that went out asking for more information. We're trying to keep close attention to those and respond quickly, typically in broad fashion, not directly, because, again, this is an open conversation we're trying to have. And I think it's worth pointing out that both of us have personal Twitter feeds, and there you'll get whatever we think is important that we want to say. I think we both tend toward the geospatial kinds of things, but other things may creep in as well. And I'm with Joe. I'm just not that interesting. But I have to say, I've already found a bunch of people that I didn't know before that I follow that I find interesting, and they've been good enough to follow. Many have been good enough to follow me back, and I'm learning all kinds of things. I'll be honest. I'm especially interested in students who are learning GIS and the kinds of issues that they bring up as they learn about this technology. I find that just fascinating, and their insights are great.
Yeah, and I like to see if I can follow people or companies that are on Twitter just to find out what they are doing. And I think that that's, again, for me, a business tool such that I want to get their news that they think is of importance today. And I think your point about immediacy is right on, is because there are some things that are important to know and that may affect the way we report the news in that 24-hour period. You wanted to bring up a point about what's a recommendation you would give to follow people?
Let me just be very clear that to follow someone is basically to collect all of their tweets along with everybody else's that you're following on your Twitter account. Initially, when I joined Twitter, I didn't follow anybody. But as I sort of lurked around and searched on various terms that I was interested in, like GIS and ESRI and geospatial and so forth, I found some people who were regularly saying interesting things. There are lots of people who don't say much at all, and they're not so interesting to follow. But the people who have sort of a regular sort of stream of thought, I found very interesting, and I've collected I think I'm following 15 or 20 people at this point. And I suggest you do the same thing. Search on topics that you're interested in and see who's out there and see what they're saying. I also follow a couple of people who are runners. That's something I'm into. They found me because I note in my bio that I'm a runner. That's fine. So I think you got to be sort of picky because, as has been pointed out on numerous occasions, I mean, if you're following 5,000 people, you're not going to be able to keep up with them, and you probably won't even read what any of them have to say. So be selective. And by the same token, if you want to know what's going on or what people are talking about on a certain topic, Twitter has a terrific search tool. In fact, the company bought it from another company at search.twitter.com, and you can search on whatever the current topic is that you're interested in, find out what people are saying. You don't have to have this connection to them directly.
Now, Twitter is one form of tool or media outlet that we're looking at using. There are others that have been around for a long time. Obviously, we use blogs. They've actually changed, I think, in terms of what their utility is in the news business. Some publications have multiple blogs. You know, we have one blog and we use it.
Well, we have one and a half blogs.
We have one and a half blogs, right. But we use it for this virtually to get out paragraph worth or lines of links worth of information that we think is collectively relative. It is not anything that we would say has in-depth research or in-depth opinions about anything. So you know, we're almost segmenting the news between articles, blogs, and Twitter feeds, and we can even go so far as introduce Delicious, which is nothing but bookmark from other news items. So it's almost like segmenting the news by fewer and fewer characters, if you will.
Right. Well, and also sort of by importance. I mean, remember, we're editors of a publication, and it's our job at some level to be a filter. We try to look out at what's going on and decide what it is readers and listeners need to know about. And what I've started to do with Delicious, and I'll put a link to our Delicious feed, which we actually appears on our All Points blog, on one of the tabs at All Points blog, is that that's a place where we can collect all these articles that talk about GIS or geospatial technology that just aren't absolutely crucial for you to know about right now, but might be interesting to you. And I think that there's value in collecting those together because, well, and we run into this over and over again, because geospatial technology covers such a broad range of technologies and disciplines and industries, it's hard for us to know exactly what might be worthwhile to any given reader. So this is a place to put, in a sense, everything that we find, and you can just take a quick look down there and see if there's anything that's relevant to you.
Yeah, and I want to say a quick word about that, about what is relevant. It's becoming critical for people in the geospatial profession to hopefully use the best means possible to receive the news, whether that's a really simple syndication feed, an RSS feed, or whether it is a Twitter feed or whatever. It's probably each reader or each listener that we have is probably going to try to discern what is the best means for them. And what we're going to try to do is deliver the news to them in whatever form they want to receive it. If they're listening to us, they've obviously found that podcasting is a useful way. And I hope that this discussion in particular enlightens them into what are the different ways that we're going to be delivering the news. We're also in discussions between us about how to deliver very specific content in particular on a particular industry segment, like state and local government geospatial technology, or like retail site selection, or whatever that may be. And we want to hear from listeners as to what they want and what's relevant to them.
There's a few other ways of getting news that I think we want to at least touch on here, and I suspect that listeners to this podcast know about RSS, real simple syndication, a way of grabbing content and displaying it either in a news reader. I think Joe and I are both big fans of Google's personalized homepage, where you can put your feeds all together in one nice page that you can visit periodically throughout the day. There's a few other things to be aware of. I'm going to note in the show notes a terrific Yahoo pipe that was written by Adam Estrada, and it's called the Geospatial Blog Headlines Pipe. And what it does is it creates this RSS feed from a number of blogs, and I find things there that I just don't find anywhere else. So that for me is a terrific resource. The other resource that, again, readers and listeners probably know about, but maybe not, is Planet Geospatial, and that's James Fee's aggregation of a bunch of geospatial blogs. Is it all the geospatial blogs? No. Is it all the blogs that you probably should follow? No, but it's a terrific start. So I use that as one of my sources, along with a number of other RSS feeds. And frankly, a lot of the feeds that I read aren't specifically geospatial. There's an awful lot to be found about geospatial in feeds of other natures. I specifically keep an eye on search engine kinds of feeds, on local search kinds of feeds, on advertising feeds, on media feeds. Geospatial news is coming in from a variety of different places, and you know, we have to keep our eyes open to all those other places.
And one of the things I've tried to do with the MapHawk blog is actually go at the
That's a half a blog I was mentioning.
That's our half a blog, but that's the other end of the pipe, which is I want to see how people are using geospatial technology. You're looking at it from what other means are there to gather geospatial news. I want to see how people are using it.
And I guess since we've talked about RSS feeds, we've talked about blogs, and we've talked about Twitter, let me just make a statement about podcasts. There are a handful of geospatial podcasts, and if you're listening to this, you've probably found them and a number of other podcasts of interest to you. If you're still new in the podcast space, I use a tool called EveryZing, which is a search engine for podcasts. I do the same thing I do with Twitter. I search on words related to topics that I'm interested in. And by doing that, I've found, six or eight podcasts that I listen to regularly that are incredibly high in quality. Again, only vaguely related to geospatial technology, if at all, but I find it a worthwhile way to keep up with the news in and outside of our industry.
Well, thanks. That's all the time we have today. We appreciate you listening to us, and we really want your feedback about social media and how we're delivering the news to you. So you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Another way to comment on how we're doing and how we deliver the news is to take our reader survey. We'll provide that as a link in our show notes today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that the deadline to submit an abstract for the ESRI Petroleum User Group Conference has been extended to December 5th. Take advantage of this unique opportunity to communicate and collaborate with others who face the same challenges in the petroleum and pipeline industries. Accepted presenters will receive complimentary registration. Please visit www.esri.com/PUG to submit your work. Again, thanks for joining us today. We'll hope to join us again next week for another Directions Media podcast, and be sure to tell a friend.